Blog Talk Radio.
We shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall. Hi all, and welcome to Cosmic Voice again on this Wednesday evening. Two songs there, the Star Trekking, and the second one, We Shall Not Be Moved, and No, We Won't Be Moved. People in the UK will know that as a more familiar song, so hope you enjoyed it. Tonight, at the moment, we have Tanath and Sunfire. Drake may call in later, we'll see. And with that, I'm going to hand you over to Tanath, see what whether she has anything to say first. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tanath.
Hey, I made it home. No strange things on the highway this time.
All right, that's good. First things first, I'd like to say something regarding the transcribers and the translators. We've kindly received quite a lot of help. People have offered to transcribe the shows for us, and I'd like to say thanks to them. And we've also received messages from four people around the world, Czechoslovakia, Sweden, France, and I think it was Venezuela, who are going to translate all the transcripts into their host language. So I'd like to say thanks to them as well.
And if you want to be part of the transcription or the translation efforts, please send an email to cosmicvoiceradio@gmail.com. Unfortunately, right now I'm not able to help organize the efforts because most of my time is taken up, unfortunately, working in the public sphere.
That's good. Another thing I'd like to briefly raise is the issue of certain questions coming up and people saying we don't answer them properly or it's insufficient data. What you have to people have to understand at this point is we are in a war, and in war you don't give secrets away or tactics or details. And I would ask people to consider that when asking certain questions. Yes, we've had a difference of opinion over the Tolek Brown dwarf item. My personal opinion is I don't think it's happening. We've stated many times that there's going to be no Earth catastrophe, and that's not going to change. You know, there's a lot of incidents that have gone on whereby the Earth is being protected from solar flares through the asteroid incident in Russia, and also the Earth wobble and catastrophes to do with expansion as well. So if there was an incoming body, why would they bother to do that? People have to think along those lines and think accordingly. You know? But there's a lot going on. The Vatican announcement on September the 1st about the change in law, and also the Princess Diana thing. You know? And with that, are you ready for questions?
Yep, I'm ready.
Let's
right.
Get it on.
First question. Please tell us about the progress being made by the Galactic Federation of Planets and Silver Legion in understanding the Archons and in progress in eliminating them from our universe.
Eliminating them from our universe is going to take a long, long time. It's not something we can do overnight. We're talking about something the size and scale of a universe that is affected by the presence of these beings. In terms of understanding them, we understand them well enough. We understand their origins, we understand what they are, and most importantly, we understand how to destroy them. So I hope that answers your question.
Is it true that the timelines can no longer be viewed by those like the remote viewers after the end of 2012?
No, I don't think that's true. I know that prior to 2012, trying to look at the 2012 event basically brought up what was called the White Wall. Since then, there have been people who are able to remote view.
still there?
Since then, there's been people that have been able to remote view the timeline. So from what I understand, a lot of the we can't view past 2012 was, aside from the White Wall, was a trumped-up thing by the cabal to try and manufacture an end-of-the-world event, which, you know, of course, didn't happen, won't be happening.
All the benevolent ET, Galactic Federation of Planets, and Andromeda Council also blocked from viewing beyond 2012.
No.
Nope.
How fast can a timeline change?
A timeline can change in less than a femtosecond. It can change in a literal instant. It all depends on what happens.
And sometimes you can actually change from one timeline and jump, like, multiple levels of timelines. Or
is that both negative and positive timelines, or just one way?
That could be either. Though I have to say in the last year or so, most of the shifts have been very positive.
Yeah.
Right. Are you able to explain the difference on magic and psionics?
It comes down to the techniques used, the source of the energy, what effects it has, and personal definitions of the people doing it. Psionics tends to utilize a bunch of techniques that involve the mind in terms of mental tricks, in terms of moving the mind or the body. Those are not always duplicatable with magic. Magic, in addition, can also have techniques that psionics can't duplicate, although there is quite a bit of overlap between the two disciplines. And psi mages are also in big demand because they marry the two, the best strengths of both.
Right. If all the bad guys are clones and the rest begin, then are you saying we will be incarcerating clones? And what happens to the real entities?
Well, like, they're not all clones. A lot of them are, at least a lot of the public ones are. I don't know what's going to go on in terms of what happens to the real ones. I imagine it would really center around what they're actually guilty of. The actions of the clone can't really be blamed on the original, especially since clones do what they're programmed to or what their handlers make them.
And so most likely what we'll be doing is the whoever was in control of the clone at the time of whatever the clone did would be the one that would be held at fault for whatever that specific incident was.
Okay. This person has tried to reach the Silver Legion through dreams in the hopes of meeting Mern and Iggy, as you said, that I may have trouble remembering it even if I did so. My question is, do you know what they look like so next time I have a better sense of how they look?
Actually, I'm not at liberty to discuss the appearance of Mern and Iggy and those particular individuals in public. So please send me a private email and we'll talk it there.
That comes down to the security you mentioned earlier. Right. Many are anxiously awaiting the healing phase of the transition, becoming doubtful that this will even take place. I know timelines and dates cannot be given, but how close are we to all this happening?
Again, timelines and dates can't be given. There's really no getting around that. Sorry. I can say close, but what does close mean? It means the same thing as soon. Soon means absolutely nothing. Soon could mean next week. Soon could mean 10 years from now. I'm not going to give timelines that I don't know if are accurate.
Yeah, we don't give timelines, people.
Okay.
No matter how you ask the question.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many times you rephrase it. I'm still not going to give a date to you.
Yes, and that's been fairly consistent right through. This one's to Sunfire. I used to read your responses on John Kettler, and I read that you said that North Carolina would be situated to receive a climate similar to Mexico's. Could you expand on that, please?
Well, in general, the planet, the entire planet, is going to, within a certain period of time, gradually shift to a global Mediterranean climate, as the poles are going to, you know, the tilt of the planet is going to be correcting. And so when that occurs, and with all the all the things that are going to be going on with the transition coming up, that will have the planet shifting towards a global Mediterranean climate. There will still be some of the highest mountains will still have snow on them. But generally, it's going to be the weather is going to be very similar to what you see in Greece, Italy, Spain, that general vicinity on a planetary-wide basis.
Right. I can't help but wonder if all what we've been through will be worth it in 4D. It's been overwhelmingly hard, and I've lost the feelings that made life joyful. I feel like an emotional person sometimes. My question is, can a person develop the ability to switch from two extremes if they experience a little bit of happiness and then be able to switch to rage to fight?
I really don't understand the question.
I think it's the change. Will they still have the same emotions in 4D?
You'll have a wider emotional range, and the negative emotions will be blunted, and the positive emotions will be emphasized.
Okay. The Cabal Illuminati began as a few bloodline families and expanded over the centuries. What is their relationship to or with the reptoids? And
most of these bloodlines, they're descended from reptoids. They're hybrids. Most of these bloodlines come out of specially selected families that were selected by the reptoids, genetically modified, and interbred within. And this is part of the reason why there is such a cabal focus on genetics and family and whether or not somebody is a legitimate heir and whatnot. And this all has to do with the blood quotient, the reptoid blood quotient. Those who have higher reptoid genetic percentages are permitted higher and higher ranks. Those with lower percentages are basically stuck being grunts and minions. But it all comes down to who your family is, and it's a very convoluted interbreeding system. You don't see natural marriages in bloodlines like that unless you've got an escapee.
And
everything is controlled.
Yeah. And beyond that, you have the hybrid, what Snap mentioned, and the bloodline families. And then above that, the Draco and the Hydras are like the overseers. They're the management, I guess if you could call it, the next layer up for the whole control system.
All right, next question. Drumvalo takes people down into the earth with him to visit the beings he calls lava beings. According to him, they are humans. Who are they? Why are they here?
I can't speculate. I can't speculate on any of the beings that Drinvalo Melchizedek has contact with, other than to say that Drinvalo Melchizedek himself isn't all that trustworthy. He's known to be recruiting for the Cabal. So, you know, your mileage may vary. Use your discernment. And, well, once again, I'm pretty much mistrustworthy of, or mistrusting of subterranean peoples. Most of them, you find the odd ones that are true positives, but most of them really aren't doing anyone any good.
They're, you know, quite often have been found to be working for the other side.
Doesn't matter how much you romanticize it or what their native dimensionality is. Remember, people, that higher dimensionality does not guarantee goodness.
Okay. Last Wednesday, Tanath says, paraphrasing, if we reveal the location of the real bodies of the politicians in power, we will be dropped. Does this mean from the show, or does this mean being killed?
Well, it probably would be very, like, it is probably something that would be hazardous to our health, but we're talking more about being disconnected from the show. They really don't like it when we start discussing locations like that. Not to mention, that information really does not function or serve a useful role as a general information thing. It's tactical, and as tactical information, we'd like to keep it under wraps.
Yeah, because, as Thomas mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are still in the middle of a war. And, when you're in the middle of a war or in the middle of a game, you don't give your playbook to the other side.
Right. Tanath, on the last show, you said that positive and negative can exist in harmony without evil. What is the difference between negativity and evil?
Negativity is, in its nature, consumptive. That means that it requires more energy than it outputs. Positivity is additive or generative. It produces more than it requires. Positive and negative can coexist quite easily, with negative taking up the excess and positive producing a lot of it. Evil, on the other hand, is gratuitous cruelty, gratuitous tyranny, gratuitous atrocity, all the terrible things. There is no need for that within negativity in and of itself. Negatives can actually exist in harmony.
Yeah, there's a lot of, we have in the Galactic Federation of Planets, we have a very nice balance of positives, neutrals, and negatives, and they coexist perfectly fine without any problems.
It's just that the particular flaw that causes evil tends to favor, or I guess you could say negatives tend to be the favored tool. It isn't necessarily the fault of negativity. You occasionally see evil positives, but it's rarer. It's just that it's easier for evil to leverage that consumptive state.
And that's when you combine the evil and the negative, that's when you get regressives like the Draco, the Hydra, the Grave.
And they are regressive. Like, part of the whole thing about them being evil, regressive, and consumptive is the fact that if you take a Draco or a Hydra at a base state as everybody else, over time, while other people progress, they'll go backwards. They'll lose tech and lose techniques and abilities and whatnot over time.
In spiritual evolution.
Yeah, they devolve instead of evolve.
Right, okay. I heard Earth-like planets are mostly considered females. Is this accurate, and why?
Yes. I have no idea why it is, but for some reason, most suns are male and most planets are female.
Who gave Mother Earth her name? The first humans who were here, or the creator beings that created Mother Earth for us?
I guess it would depend on which name you're using. She's got so many names, right? Some of them are applied onto her. by other beings, whether those are other humans, whether those are us from down here, whether those are other beings out there. Some of, and her own chosen name is actually Mita, or Mita. I'm not too sure how to say it. M-I-T-A.
Okay. Blog Talk is having fun and games with the mic again. I believe. Right. Why does Mother Earth have several names? I think you just answered that one.
Well, Love Child has many names, as my mother says.
In Lana Cantrell's The Greatest Story Never Told, Lana explains that years ago, Earth humans had green skin, that our blood is like chlorophyll, and perhaps back then our blood was even gold-like in colour. Who are these green-skinned gods?
They're not gods, for one. No, not all of us had green skins. I do believe that Tolik discusses a particular green-skinned progenitor race that it was part of the 24 or 26 or whatever it was, human species that helped contribute to the Earth Project. We don't have a single origin. People need to really get this through their heads. We have 24 to 26 separate species making up our origin. So yeah, some of them are green-skinned, some of them are not. Some of them have pointy ears, some of them have round ears. You know, some of them have almond-shaped eyes, some of them have round eyes. You know, there is all kinds. 24 different flavors went into the mix, minimum. Yeah, the greenskins make up part of it. No, they were not gods. No, they are not our sole progenitor. Anybody claiming sole progenitor or sole creator over humanity on Earth is lying, flat out.
When we transition back to 4D, will the green skin beings return?
Well, yeah, some of them will want to say hi to their descendants. Are they going to come and take over? No. They're going to be part of many groups that are going to come and interact with us.
Were the Greek gods ETs? And if so, where did they come from?
They were 11th and 12th dimensional god or mini creator type beings, and they came from, well, I guess they were extraterrestrial in that they did not originate on Terra. So yeah,
and a lot of them probably even originated outside of the universe originally, because it seems I don't think in all situations, but it seems like at least with this universe, the majority of the mini creator beings or the god beings originated from an extra universal point of origin.
Right. I have recently had my position deleted. I've worked in the medical field as an RN, case manager. I would like to prepare to be of assistance before, during, and after transition. Would this field still be valid as we enter into the transition to 4D?
I think that you'll find a lot of the bureaucracy parts of it are not as utilized. But yes, generally the healing arts, they'll be retuned, but they'll definitely be healing arts still.
Yeah, definitely. And if you want to expand your healing knowledge, I suggest looking into color, sound, crystal, light healing, any of those, healing with herbs or homeopathics, massage therapies, any of what would be considered natural or alternative type of healing, acupressure, acupuncture, energetic healing like prana healing, healing with the chi energies, you know, and stuff like that. And in the meantime, I know from past experience when I studied forensics that coroner's offices will always hire an RN. So it might be something, you know, look into in the meantime.
what is the precursor to the event when we will meet extraterrestrials, or what needs to happen before?
Man, which event is this?
I think it's the event that Cobra has been talking about, that, you know, Cobra's full of crap anyway. So.
Right. Can't comment on any of Cobra's material other than to say, use your discernment. He ain't working with us. Sorry, he just isn't.
He's working with the Galactic Federation of Wizards and Cabal, and he denies it one side enough together, but that's the truth. As far as any precursors to the ET's landing, I don't know.
Again, that's tactical information.
Yeah.
Because we're not, you know, the Federation and the Silver Legion and the groups involved in the Liberation Forces are looking into a number of options. We have not decided on exactly what we're going to do yet. So it's still open, but chances are it's not going to look like a stereotypical disclosure event, meaning that it's probably not going to be talked about on CNN. And you also probably won't have to take some official's word for it, because we're going to emphasize personal face-to-face interaction over something that somebody can easily dismiss, like, oh, friend of a friend of a friend said.
Yeah, we're, you know, our focus is on connecting and reaching out and contacting the civilian population. We know the governments are corrupt.
Yes, if you want official disclosure, it's been going on for years. It's just that it's not happening in the form that people expect it to. You know, it's still being marginalized by the general public at large, so people assume that disclosure hasn't happened just because things are well hidden. Well, get out there and do your research. You'll find disclosure has been going on for years.
Yeah, if you guys go on YouTube, you know, research the keyword UFO MSM News, you'll find that there has been hundreds of mainstream network news and primetime news channels that have covered UFO sightings. There's the FBI, the British Ministry of Defense have both released a lot of documents on UFOs. There's been even an article that was done, I believe, on NBC about UFO sightings. So, and there is a defense minister in Canada.
Paul Hellyer, yeah, I was about to mention him, Paul Hellyer. And despite all of the post hoc attempts to discredit him on the basis of the fact that he is speaking about UFOs, here is a highly ranked member of the defense industry who is publicly disclosing this material. And most of the opposition against him is basically stating, well, he's talking about UFOs, he must be nuts, and using that as a basis to discredit him. And anybody who's able to think even slightly critically realizes that that's it's circular.
Yeah, and you know, you guys want more government officials disclosing. There was the former head of the CIA, I believe, last year, went on Coast to Coast AM and completely disclosed quite broadly the whole interaction between the United States government and UFOs. There's been the press club hearing that went on for a couple hours. It was broadcast on CNN within the past couple years, where a bunch of military, Navy, Air Force Base, government officials publicly disclosed the government's interaction with UFOs. And then just this past, I think like a month or two ago, there was the citizens hearing for disclosure, where, again, more government people publicly disclosed the government's connection and ties with UFOs and aliens. And there was also Medvedev, the president of Russia. He disclosed even Russia's connection to UFOs and ETs. So, I mean, you guys got disclosure.
Mm-hmm. As for when you'll be able to interact face-to-face, well, that all depends on what happens in the next few months. We'd like to speed this along. We really would.
Yes. But the press club's been going on since for the last 12 years. And also, last Friday, we had the announcements that Area 51 is now official. I thought it was rather significant. The MSN article says it was a disappointment to the so-called conspiracy theorists that there was no aliens and ETs. You know, why did they have to mention that? They didn't have to put that in. Basically, it's introducing you in small steps. So it is there if you look. Right, next question. An article is stating that American nuclear industry is having trouble to expand and some nuclear power plants are having trouble and even facing being shut down. You guys have said that transition to 4D will need to clean up all the nuclear material on planet Earth. Is what this article reporting part of the nuclear cleanup efforts between Earth's good people and the positive ETs?
At this point, I doubt that. I think it's probably more likely that the article is trying to spur fear porn and fear around nuclear disasters.
How about the nuclear plants all around the world? Are those eventually going to be shut down too?
Yes. Yes. Nothing nuclear will remain. This is the kind of thing, it's kind of like giving switchblades to three-year-olds, right? It's, you don't do it.
Yeah, or giving a flamethrower to a toddler. It's just not a good idea. And as far as, you know, the time frame to clear, you know, all that stuff up, it can be done in a matter of a couple of weeks. It's not, you know, the technology that the ETs have and what technology is even being suppressed here on the planet, you know, it can all be cleared up and be radiated in literally like a blink of an eye.
All right. Next question to Tanath and Sunfire. What do you think of the books of James Redfield, like The Celestine Prophecy? Are you familiar with this, and what is your opinion?
What's a basic primer in multidimensional thought? It's fairly decent. I mean, that you got to use your discernment with anything. Anything big like that, bound to have a booby trap here or there, but in general, it's a basic primer on multidimensional thought.
Yeah,
the movie has got terrible, terrible production values and is just preachy as heck. But, you know, if you're the kind of person who learns best from a movie as opposed to a book, go pick it up. If you're the kind who, like, prefers to read your information, go pick up the book. It's decent. Just use your discernment.
The multidimensional thinking is one of the methods and techniques is that Kyla from Procyon emphasizes the need to embrace and develop in the two articles where it's covered that he spoke to another lady down here on the surface and was one of the best and strongest forms of defense against like the Dracos and the Greys is multidimensional thinking. Breaking out of that, there's only 3D and nothing else, mindset, you know, it's really important.
Right. There are a lot of predictions of upcoming Earth disasters from mild solar flares disrupting electricity to as bad as everything burning. What can we actually expect?
You can expect odd weather, maybe snowstorms when they're not supposed to be, maybe hot days when they're not supposed to be. Other than that, not really a whole lot. If you're like me and you're electromagnetically sensitive and you get headaches, you might be able to expect some more headaches. And, well, shares might go up and some headache medicines. Honestly, despite all the people trying to terrify you into manifesting an X-class or extinction class CME, it's not going to happen. There's plenty of ways to redirect that. Sure, some of the smaller ones get through, but they're, you know, at most maybe they'll knock out the grid in some places for a few days, kind of like what happened on the Eastern Seaboard a couple in 2005, I think it was. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You'll survive.
Yeah, I can't emphasize this enough, and I know Thomas spoke at the very beginning of the show tonight. There will be no mass casualty or catastrophic events anywhere on the planet.
And your tech toys will survive, at least up until transition. Your cars will keep running. I would recommend, though, and I would recommend this, as somebody who lives in a place where blizzards routinely come through here in the winter, I have food and water and warm stuff to keep water liquid enough for 2 weeks. I recommend that everybody have what they need to live for 2 weeks on hand. I'm in a little apartment without a lot of storage. I stack water in my closet, you know, underneath my shirts that don't hang all the way and stuff. You know, find a place to keep it. Even use it as a place to put other things to rest. You can prepare, and don't think you got to go out tomorrow and buy everything in one go. I built my little collection over a couple of months, and I rotate it, too. When something gets a little too old, I eat that or drink that and bring in another one. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be all in one go. It's extremely recommended. The government of Canada even recommends that people have a minimum of 72 hours worth of supplies on for every member of the family and the animals as well. In the case of an emergency, you know, we just recently had flooding in my province and some people were displaced from their homes for a couple of weeks. Some people are still displaced from their homes. Be prepared.
It's
not paranoia. It's Boy Scout thinking.
And it's just good common sense. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I would love to see a lot more of in general is just common sense. And, I mean, you know, there's wildfires and there's earthquakes and there's, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and all this other stuff that just, you know, natural part of the planetary weather system. And, you know, so things happen. Just being prepared is, you know, a really great idea.
Yeah, and don't invest fear in it. You could do this from an emotionally neutral standpoint. You don't have to invest fear in it.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Free energy is here, but we may need a hand with the non-human controllers. Is there something the benevolent could do to get rid of the suppression by the non-humans stifling the release of the new energy sources?
We're working on it.
Yeah. It's already in progress, guys.
This is definitely a major goal of ours, is to free up, basically get rid of the interference so that the Terran-made and Terran-developed technologies and products can be disseminated on a mass scale. We're not here to be saviors. We're not here to tell you how to live your lives. We're not here to hand over scads and scads of tech. We're here to help you live freely. We're here to clear away the scum that have been tainting the pool so that the waters can run clear and you can see what you want to do yourself. And protecting people who are involved in the distribution and production of that tech is definitely one of our goals, as is helping with the dissemination process.
Okay. Next question is for Sunfire, not Sunflower, please. Sunfire, F-I-R-E. I heard you mention that the Galactic Federation of Planets has its own biospheres. Are they also going to transport people to the new 3D planet, or is that only the Andromedans?
That's only the Andromeda Council. They're the ones that are going to be handling the transport of people in the biospheres. Some of the Federation might assist in transporting people from the surface to the biospheres, but as far as transporting people in the biospheres, that's solely on the shoulders of the Andromeda Council.
Next question. Do we all have twin flames that were split apart from us at the very beginning when we first came out of Source? And will we be... Right, okay. So they won't be reunited with them.
Well, those who have twin flames will probably have the opportunity to seek out their twin flames, but I don't know if everybody has one. I don't know if everyone wants one. I know a lot of the people who romanticize the idea, maybe they have one and maybe they'll find them, but not everybody has a need for it, right?
Yeah, not everybody has a twin flame in that, you know, in that it's a split, you know, split of your own soul.
Twin flame the same as soulmate?
No, twin flames are a bit different. Soulmates are, you can have more than one soulmate. Everybody talks about their soulmate because we're so programmed to think monogamously. But you can have more than one soulmate. A twin flame is essentially a fragment of yourself. And these don't always have to be romantic relationships either. Honestly, I find the notion of this person that you are absolutely destined to love and none other, I find it very oppressive. The universe is big, and there are a lot of wonderful people in there. It's okay to love people. It's okay to love more than one person. It's okay to have a long career of many, many lifetimes in which you have many, many loves. You don't have to be bound to one person.
All part of the control system.
Yep.
Well, heck, all this focus on monogamy and whatnot, a lot of that has to do with the disposition of property and heirs. Reptoid control systems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully that'll end on September the 1st with the change in Roman Cura law.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I think it would be a long time before Terrans on Earth are comfortable with fully permissive societies sexually, though, and relationship-wise. And, you know, this society may choose to remain mostly monogamous. There are cultures who do. It's a very cultural thing. But even here on this planet, we have multiple cultures around that.
Right, next question is about prisoners and what will happen to them. There are real maniacs that can't be with the normal people, and there are some innocent people put in prisons. How will they be able to choose either to leave prison to stay 3D or stay and go 4D?
Those beings who are imprisoned on this planet wrongfully will have the choice to do what they want. Those people who are imprisoned for just reason will be given the opportunity to be healed. If they refuse healing, chances are they won't be permitted to go cause more trouble. I'm not entirely sure what the whole process is there, but they're not about to unleash murderers on society or rapists or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely not. We're not going to make such a foolish mistake there.
And yes, they do have ways of telling for real whether someone is innocent or guilty. It's not a he said, she said thing like it is down here.
Yeah, and you know, it's also a difference of, you know, determining what the person's actually responsible for. Those that are like serial killers, rapists, that kind of thing are, you know, in a totally different class versus somebody that stole a loaf of bread to feed their family.
Or somebody who's been put away for 20 years smoking pot or something like that. There are no personal laws governing personal use of intoxicants of any variety. in the Galactic Federation of Planets.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that golden rule, you know.
They don't punish victimless crimes.
Right.
So it's common law then.
Yeah, it's very common law.
Right, I recently had a dream in which I was suddenly standing face to face with a grey-like being, but it had a more bluish-grey skin tone. It was a bit taller than me, and I'm 5'9". It felt very hostile, but I haven't noticed any effects from the encounter. What kind of being was this? And if you are able to say, where did it come from? And finally, how do I know it hasn't influenced me in some way that I'm not aware of?
Okay, we'll start with these one at a time. Start with the first question again. You pile too many questions on me, I lose them all.
What kind of being? A bluish gray skin tone, about roughly 5'9".
Okay, so it's a gray type being.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what kind, because there's a lot of them, just like there's a lot of different kinds of humans, there's a lot of different kinds of gray. Most are known to be or presumed to be hostile. What was the next question?
Where did it come from? You've answered that. How do I know it hasn't influenced me in some way that I'm not aware of?
That's a little harder. One thing I would do is really, really monitor your own behavior and your own thoughts for things that don't make sense but get glossed over. Watch yourself for anything that's sort of deviating from your norm. If you find yourself doing stuff that you wouldn't normally do and you catch yourself at it, it might be the result of tampering.
Okay. Since there is a lot of cleanup being done to the planet, is all the salt in our oceans also going to be cleaned up?
No. The oceans are going to remain as saltwater oceans, but there will be technology that I know exists here on the planet for desalination purposes. However, all the contaminants, like, you know, the nuclear waste and all the bad stuff and everything else, like the Pacific Gyre and everything else that is contaminating the oceans and lakes and rivers and that sort of thing, that is in the process already of being cleaned up and will be cleaned up more thoroughly as is possible, and definitely before this transition.
I do believe in the process of a few thousand years, the oceans will become less salty and eventually become sweet. You can't do it overnight, largely because it's too shocking to many of the plants and animals and other life that have evolved now, have spent so much time with saltwater oceans that if you just take all the salt away, they die. So this will give them a chance to change.
Yeah.
Is it true that the sea used to be fresh water and not salt?
Yes.
Yes.
Any idea of the timeline of that?
No, I don't really know the timeline on that.
From what I understand, is roughly about 25,000 years ago, they started the process of salting the oceans. It was done gradually over a lengthy time, in the instance that you control the water on a planet, you control the population. It was another control method.
And that was done by?
The Reptoids.
Question two to now.
Possibly the
Reptoids.
Go ahead.
Sorry, carry on.
So I was going to say, you know, possibly a combination of the Reptoids and the Anunnaki, but as far as I understand it, it was done by the Reptoids.
Question four to now. Do you have a personal replicator in your home?
In my human home? No. That would be useful. That would be very useful. I probably would not need to work outside the home if I did have a personal replicator. So, no, I don't.
Does Sunfire have a website?
I don't at this point in time. I know the Galactic Federation of Planets is planning on having a official website. There is no official or unofficial website for the Galactic Federation of Planets at this time, but it will be something that will be done in the future. I don't know when yet. But aside from these radio shows, there is no actual internet presence for the Federation.
Right. Will all present religions continue to function after transition in 4D?
That would be an unlikely feat. Simply put, too much surrounding transition basically makes these things self-evidently false.
Considering that the planetary population basically outgrew the current world religions about 457 years ago. And definitely, yeah, when, you know, as disclosure continues to happen, as the reintroduction of our extraterrestrial ancestors occurs, as the transition kicks into even higher gear than it already is, and especially once it makes the jump from 3D to 4D, yeah, it'll definitely become self-evident that that stuff is basically a lot of horse hockey based on false stories. And
this is not meant to be disrespectful. It's just that it's not true.
Yeah. From what I understand, the closest, and not saying that they are, you know, 100% accurate, but the closest to the spiritual, I want to say spiritual systems that are among the positives would be your Zen Buddhism and Shinto belief systems. But, you know, Lorne once said that it's not about what you believe, but why you believe it.
Yep. For instance, if you're believing something out of fear default, you're not doing yourself any favors or anyone else. And also, nobody has the right to threaten anyone else with doom or hell or anything else for having the quote-unquote wrong beliefs. That's just not kosher.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to play two songs. It's around about 8 or 9 minutes. And we'll be back with more questions after that. Hi, and welcome back to the second hour of Cosmic Voice with Tanath and Sunfire. And we'll go straight into the questions again. Right. Is there an entrance to the inner Earth at the North Pole, as stated by Admiral Richard E. Byrd?
Yeah, and the South Pole as well.
Yep.
Where is the location of Atlantis?
In the mid-Pacific. It stretches from off the coast of Portugal to almost...
In the mid-Atlantic.
That's what I said, off the coast of Portugal to about slightly south of Florida.
The sunken continents in the Pacific are most likely Pacifica, Mu, or Lemuria.
Yeah.
Sunfire knows more about the locations of those than I do.
Yeah, Mu, Pacifica, the name's kind of interchangeable there. That's the main sunken continent in the middle of the Pacific. Lemuria existed prior to Mu, and it's about where Malaysia and Indonesia are. And there is another continent called Lumania, which sat between and stretched into partway into Australia, but it sat between Australia and India. And then Osiria, which sat in the Mediterranean basin. And the ever-famous Hyperborea, which was the capital city of Seoul, and Seoul is now known as Greenland.
Okay.
There is a total of 7 old continents, as far as I remember.
Is there a timeline for that? Or multiple?
I don't know the exact timeline, but for those that are really interested in some real hard facts on the old continents, I suggest starting with going to bibliotechofladies.net and looking up in the little search box. You go and you look for History of the Golden Ages Atlantis. It actually quotes real archaeologists and anthropologists, and even an article that was published in mainstream media about it back in 1971, I believe. It's a good place to start. And then also look up a book by Brad Steyer called Worlds Before Our Own.
Okay. Is there anything obvious that everyone can easily notice regarding the transitioning to 4D?
Well, yeah, the actual transition itself is going to be pretty darn obvious. As for precursors, well, take a look around you. Things are changing.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Good point is all the, everybody keeps screaming about all these massive animal die-offs. Most of those are because the animals are transitioning ahead of the human population.
Right, next question. Did prehistoric matriarchy really exist? If so, what caused it to rise and what caused it to fall?
In those dark ages after the fall of Atlantis, yes, there were matriarchal societies. I don't know if matriarchy as a general way of doing things ever really happened on this planet in the high-tech societies that came before, because those had a tendency to be very egalitarian.
Okay. Will the equator change by 21 degrees or more within the next 6 months?
Well, if the actual tilt straightens out, then... the actual tilt won't move the equator. The equator stays the same with that. Instead, if we do see a crust slip, which is entirely possible, and it does not have to be a catastrophic event, and it won't be. But if we do see a crust slip, then yes, likely the equator will change.
I think
both the magnetic and physical poles have been moving for quite some time, and at quite a measurable distance and speed for well over 2 or 3 years now, and probably, I think, quite beyond that, but more measurably in the past 2 to 5 years.
And anybody who's keen on paying attention might notice that the moon appears to have moved as well. Not quite where we're expecting it.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody keeps mentioning that it's at a more southern orbit currently than it normally is.
To the person who asked the question, the 21 degree or more is more likely to be the shift on the planet on its axis being corrected.
Right.
Yeah.
In Hindu scriptures, there are stories of demigods and demons fighting millions of years ago. Are those stories true?
Probably elements of them are. It's hard to say of what got recorded, what's accurate, what's hyperbole, what's literal truth. But yes, some of them are based on truth. The assumption that all writers of ancient stories made was that these things occurred on this planet. That isn't necessarily the case. A lot of what goes down in our legends and mythologies as having happened to the gods and whatnot occurred in other times and places and not on this planet.
Okay.
And a lot of them are allegorical.
Mm-hmm.
Will Comet Eisen cause any changes to Earth?
No negative ones, at least.
Will Cabal turn off the internet within the next 6 months?
They better not. I don't know what I'd do without Reddit.
Let's put it this way. As far as the Federation is concerned, if they try, we'll turn them off.
Exactly. Will we have two suns in the sky after transition?
We already have two suns. The solar system was originally a trinary system. It's currently a binary system. And I mentioned this before on one of the previous shows, that the second sun that has been in the solar system for a long, long time is not visible to Earth, because Earth's atmosphere cannot handle the onslaught of radiation from two stars. And so the planet Earth is set at an opposite orbit to where the second sun is not visible from Earth. It is visible if you go to Mars. And it's been there for practically since before the planet has been here. It's part of the original solar system creation. So no, we're not going to be adding any more stars to our solar system before transition.
Okay. I've heard that the cornerstone of the Kaaba, the big black square cube in Mecca, is extraterrestrial in origin. Is that true? And if so, which ET species did it belong to?
I have no clue. Pass? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not sure on that one.
Maybe we should
possibly reptoid.
Okay. Was the Holy Grail an actual bloodline? Could it be referring to pure alien blood?
Actually, the Holy Grail, from what I understand, was actually an alien device, and crystals on each of the crystals on the device had some significance. I know I can't remember off the top of my head, but it wasn't a specific bloodline. No, it was a piece of alien technology.
I want the holy hand grenade of Antioch.
Excuse for the delay. I'm just trying to get Drake on. Drake's in the background somewhere, and I'm trying to get Drake on. Right, next question. Was Buddha an extraterrestrial incarnate?
Yes. A lot of the great teachers were incarnates. Some of them were part of the order of Melchizedek, which has nothing to do with the Dronvalo Melchizedek. Many of these people were volunteers who basically go around the universe offering to help third-dimensional planets gain knowledge. There was another Melchizedek that was involved with this, and he's the one that had 12 buddies and got nailed up on a cross. They're not gods. They're not the son of God or gods themselves. They're extraterrestrial helpers.
That's okay. NASA recently announced the finding of a giant pink planet called GJ504, also known as 59 Virginis. It's magenta in color and located in the Virgo constellation. What is the actual name of this planet, and is there sentient life on it?
There's sentient life on most planets. I'm not familiar with this one in particular. My stellar cartography is pretty awful.
Well, isn't our solar cartographer hanging out with you right now?
Yes, and he's trying to get me the name. Hold on. Patsiris, it's named.
Right, okay.
Because the inhabitants are quite friendly.
Right. Next question. What is the relationship between our souls and our spirits? When I center myself by feeling what is self and not self, does that include my spirit?
Your spirit is all of you. Your spirit can't be destroyed. It was created by the Creator. It can't be injured or wounded or anything like that. It always exists. Your soul is the part of you that remains conscious and does the thinking.
And also, in the higher dimensions, well, like in 3D, we have these organic carbon bodies that are like, we consider them like shells or like, you know, putting on a glove kind of thing. And then when you transition into the higher dimensions, like 40 and up, the soul is what gives your spirit essence its form, its physicality.
Right. How does a regular, everyday, normal person tell who is a clone and who is not a clone?
Well, watch for the blips in programming for the most part. Clones, when they're asked something that doesn't fit into their script, they have troubles with it. Serious trouble. Sometimes it's quite hilarious, actually.
Yeah, like when the old.
So watch how
they
deal with the unexpected.
Yeah, and also for those that are capable of seeing the auras, a normal human being or normal sentient being, let's put it that way, will have a full aura around their entire body. With clones, they only have an auric glow around the top of their head, and usually just the very top of their head. this is just because of the varying way that they work. And I mean, there's been some broadcasts I've seen where there's this one, I don't remember the name of the senator, but there was a senator that was killed, and they actually used a hologram in multiple different news broadcasts post the time that he had been killed. And there's video on YouTube of where they caught a couple of the glitches in the hologram, and it was pretty interesting and educational. They've got, holograms that can look 3D physical, like, if you don't know what you're looking at, that it would be like, you would just be looking at a regular, normal 3D person.
Right. What constellation is Andron in, and approximately how many light years away is it?
It's in Antares.
And
the Antares system.
Yeah. I believe that's roughly about 3,000 light years away, right?
Right, okay.
No.
Is it 5,000?
Let me look up Antares. I think it's closer than that.
Make it somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000. I mean, it's just like a super red giant.
Yeah, I know it's a super red giant. And I've got confirmation that it is indeed a super red giant.
Our lovely solar photographer.
It's about 550 light years away.
Oh. Added an extra zero there.
Yeah, you're an order of magnitude off, honey.
Yeah. It
happens. Message to the listeners, that is roughly 1/12 of the distance to the nearest brown dwarf star, which is 6,000 light years away. Right. Sunfire, have you seen any ET-based personal flying craft during your 4D research or travels?
During my 4D research or travels, my higher self is, operates between 5D and beyond that, so seeing, craft and working on craft and being on craft and in craft and around craft, I do that all the time. But, I mean, as far as here in 3D, I've seen probably a good handful of ships here in 3D.
All right. I sure hope the shift happens soon, as I'm running out of teeth to bite my tongue. There's no one to talk about the cosmos around here except my 11-year-old, and I worry that she will be chastised if she mentions ET or the 4D shift. Is there any advice about how to wake people up?
What I suggest is do it slowly and gently. You can start by taking into consideration that shows like Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Andromeda, Stargate SG-1, those are all based on roughly 80% to 95% based on facts. And start talking to the people that are in the sci-fi, really, really, really into sci-fi, and just kind of be like, hey, well, what do you think if, what would you think if this stuff is actually true, if it was actually real, or if it was actually based on facts?
Make the information available. It's
yeah.
Very much like Field of Dreams here. If you build it, they will come. Not everybody is at the same level. Not everybody's at the same state of awareness and state of willingness and readiness. Tailor your information for their level.
Yeah, you don't want to scare them away by overwhelming them, but, drop a few things here and there and let them come to you. And a good way to get some really good advice is there's an article that was a transcript of a lecture given by Alex Collier, which you can even check this out on alexcollier.org. Is the Andromedans and Mentoring Humanity. And it is from his lecture that he gave at the Awake and Aware conference. And it really has some great ways to get involved in mentoring and introducing the information to people. Alex Collier is a really great resource for introducing people to the concept of the existence of aliens and extraterrestrials and off-worlders. But take it one step at a time. Don't bombard somebody with it.
Right. I'll break this question down. Would it be possible to create a Cliff Notes version or possible diagram showing where the original races came from?
I believe, as far as I understand it, on alexcollier.org, there is at least 11 of the 22 to 25 different races that are involved in the progenitor base for the Terrans, and it includes the star system and the planet.
Next part. In other words, you have described the combination of genetics and the star systems the Greek people came from. Can you break down the large countries and match them with their star families?
Not all of them, no. That's a lot of information. Keep in mind, we're Terrans too. We're operating with minds and bodies that have suffered just as much as yours. We don't have a super high volume of specific information. It's hard to get that much bandwidth through. So that is all information that's going to be coming after the shift anyway. So we've tended to focus more on operational stuff.
And hopefully some of the information will actually be coming out prior to the shift, but a lot of it will be out. I would say the main brunt of it will be out post-shift, but there's going to be a lot that will be released prior to the shift. I don't know when. It will be kind of as soon as it is physically possible to do it, and whatever is determined to not be so classified under operational security.
Right. To the person who asked the question, who told you they were clones, that comes under the security and tactical issues again. So we can't answer that one. Right. Will we know the exact date of the ascension as it gets close, or will we be taken by surprise when it suddenly pops into 4D in one day?
From what I understand, we'll be able to, as we get closer, give a rough estimate. We will not know the exact specific date, time, hour, minute, second kind of thing.
It'd be kind of cool if it happened on January 14th. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, I don't see it happening in January, but we'll see.
Hope so.
Yeah, that would be nice.
The next question is also a security issue, I'm sorry to say, to do with the Alien Races book and the Council of Five. And
we've been told not to release any information on that for the time being.
Sorry about that.
All I can say is use your discernment.
Uh will the Earth changes and ascension happen at the same time?
Well, the Earth changes are already going on. Ascension is a process. We tend to think of the of ascension as like the flip point where our bodies move from 3 to 4. We're actually going through the process of Earth changes and ascension both at the same time right now. So, yes, they are happening at the same time, but not quite the way you're asking. Don't think of these in terms of singular events. Think of them in terms of processes and transitions.
Right. Is the Galactic Federation of Light a front for harmful beings disguised as helpful ones? I've heard
mixed
messages.
Yes, it is. It is one of the primary methods that the Reptoid and Gray Confederates use to soften up 3D human worlds for invasion. Not just this planet, 3D human worlds.
And the second part, I'd be kind of interested to what sites he or she is mentioning. I see that some sites even mention both Galactic Federation of Planets and the Galactic Federation of Light as working together. Is this true?
No, they're
no.
Absolutely not.
No.
Anybody who's claiming that is either mistaken or attempting to muddy the water. Anybody who claims that the Galactic Federation of Planets and the Galactic Federation of Light are the same organization is lying and attempting to muddy the water.
We're openly declared enemies. We don't hide it. We do not like the Galactic Federation lizards. They're not our friends. They're not your friends. They're not anybody's friends.
Nor does the Galactic Federation of Planets ever refer to itself as the Confederation or Confederation of anything.
And, you know, we're very, 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 very much have been, you know, very outspoken about the fact that channeling, which is the same as possession, is banned throughout all member planets of the Federation and the Andromeda Council and the Silver Legion. And any associated allied member group.
Yep. So if it's coming from a channeled source, you know it's not us, automatically.
You automatically know it's not positive.
Even if they're trying to call themselves the Galactic Federation, they're not us.
Okay. I've seen a lot of criticism of how most groups aren't willing to give dates or prophecies. But the policy of not giving dates, is this due to preventing the negative forces from messing up that timeline?
Pretty much. You know, if you're going to announce to the world that you're going to do something on such and such a date, and you're in the middle of a war, well, you can expect that the people you're fighting against are going to do their best to mess up your plan on that day. It's just foolish to go running around announcing your game plan as you're going to the enemy.
Also, and go ahead.
As much as, you know, we consider the people who are listening to this show to be our friends, bear in mind there are people listening who are not our friends. We're giving out information for free on the radio. Of course this is being listened to. You only have to watch and listen and see how often we get knocked off when we start talking about controversial topics. To realize that, yes, indeed, people are listening. We're not going to give away any tactical information. That's stupid.
Also, the nature of time itself is very malleable, and it's subject to change. It's, you know, even as Tanakh pointed out, that a timeline can change in the blink of an eye. And, you know, any number of things can change a timeline, can shift a timeline. And especially when it comes to cosmic events like the ascension or, you know, some of the other things that are slotted to happen, even the best precogs and time spheres and everything else up there in the higher dimensions cannot accurately predict down to the day, time, hour, even week. that a cosmic event is going to happen. The nature of the universe is that, you know, things like cosmic events just are not predictable in a manner and form in which those that, you know, things on a linear time scale can understand.
Yeah, you think of time as linear. You think of time as being composed up of seconds and minutes that go by in a regular measurable fashion, and on Earth that's possible. But it's not necessarily something that coincides with the rest of the universe. Now, you can think of this here as being on local time. A second to us might mean an hour to somebody else, and it might mean, you know, an hour to us might mean a second. There is no direct translation there between things. So trying to pin down a date on it, we think of this as being something that's going by in a very regular fashion. But the truth of the matter is there's no privileged observer when it comes to time. There's nobody who can stand and say, my time is right and all of yours is wrong. So it's really, really difficult to say, well, it's going to happen on this date at this time or whatever because of that shifting around and moving around of time.
Is it the difference with Earth having a linear time and that not applying outside?
We don't have a linear time. We only perceive ourselves as having a linear time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Linear time was introduced to the planet as another form of control.
Yes, we know who that was.
Yep.
This person is talking about a friend who has cancer, and his friend doesn't know about the transition. He is losing weight, but is getting alternative treatment. Should I tell him about the transition, and how can I help him?
Follow your heart. Follow your guidance on what you feel is best. I don't know anything about the circumstance. I don't know anything about the personalities involved. Follow your heart when it comes to things like that. I can't tell you to go out and tell someone or not tell someone. If it feels like something that's calling to you to do, then do it.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say it depends on how open to, you know, the concept that your friend is. And there's a bunch of very effective alternative methods out there. Baking soda and molasses is one of the most effective methods for curing cancer. If you think about it, cancer is the candida fungus.
Some people think it is.
And there's also, from what I've heard, radionics is another effective method. Do your research and, you know,
now, keep in mind, none of us are medical professionals,
right,
and we cannot give you medical advice. But, you know, do your research. There's stuff out there. There are suppressed cures. Getting access to them is difficult, but sometimes it can be done.
Also, I wanted to recommend you looking up a Talcidian healer. His name is Jerry Wills. You could go to his website, jerrywills.com. He may be another source that will be able to help your friend. But do your research.
Or find information.
Right. I believe the caninibid oil—I'll say that again. Caninibid oil is good for cancer cures. So, again, as Tanath says, do your research. Right. Will people who have never meditated or even heard of ascension go into complete shock if this happens to everyone at once?
Well, no doubt there's going to be some very, very surprised people. The ones I'm most worried about are actually people who have a very, very entrenched religious belief that is not subject to evidence, you know, where it doesn't matter what evidence or proof you give them of an alternate explanation, they will not change their minds about their beliefs. Those are the people I'm the most worried about, because this is going to be hard for them psychologically to grasp and to understand.
Okay. Right, this person is saying about a year ago, he or she started to see what appears to be another dimension around him or she all the time. Can you explain what I may be seeing?
Possibly another dimension that you're seeing. Without being able to see what you're seeing, I can't really say. Or without a more accurate description than that, I can't really say. Like, it could very well be overlap into the etheric realm, the astral plane, even a higher dimension.
Yes, it doesn't say whether it's during the daytime or the dream time, so it's kind of difficult to answer that question.
It's not enough information for me to answer that.
Yeah.
Oh, right. If the Greys are basically robots, does the three times check, is it affected when communicating with them?
Usually they just go silent when you try to give them the three times check. Remember, no answer is a no.
And also, I don't recommend attempting to communicate with Greys when you've got a sword in your hand and you're planning to chop its head off.
Yeah. Greys are untrustworthy enough that you can pretty much assume they're there to do you harm.
Greys are basically think of them as like a parasitic virus that is infecting the entire universe. They are under extinction protocols by the Galactic Federation planets for a reason, not just because we don't like them.
I think you
it's
said
kind
on
like
a
cockroaches.
Yeah. I think Sunfire said on a previous show to just punch them. So that's good advice, I think. Same question. The reptilians can manifest a human form. How does the three times check work with them?
I don't know how well the three times check works with flesh and blood humans. But usually with spirit beings, it works. And again, you start asking reptilians, and they usually flip out and start acting overtly aggressive. They get really pissed off that you're questioning them. That's a really good indication that they're not there with your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Will we still have a soul contract after the transition? Will it be the same one or a new one?
A lot of the contracts that were in existence were violated, so it's really hard to say what's going on with the soul contracts right now.
But soul contracts aren't just for 3D beings. They exist all the way up to existence level.
For the benefit of the people who don't understand what a soul contract is, can one of you expand on that, please?
No.
Well, you can consider it kind of like, in this case, your incarnation agreement or your birth agreement. It's basically an outline detailing, in general terms, what you are or are not willing to experience or agree to experience during your current life. It is a contract made between you and Source, and in some cases you may contract with a specific group or being in order to get something specific done. And such is the nature of my particular incarnation. This is under a specific mission contract. So I'm not just doing a general life to learn some stuff. Like, you can't go through this without learning anything. It's categorically impossible. Nobody gets out of life without learning something. But I'm here for more than just joyride. I'm here to work.
Right. On the last show, you stated that Obama and many more are clones. Is it just the political people, or are there other...
No. There are... we can't go into too much details about who is and who isn't cloned. But generally, any place where you have significant points of power and major decisions being made, especially if they might not be amenable to bribes and other forms of control, strategic cloning does happen.
Right. Will traditional Chinese medicine practitioners turn out to be an excellent light healer?
Yeah, they'll be pretty good. Traditional Chinese medicine, a lot of it is very, very useful. Some of it, you know, I really don't know how much bear gall and other stuff like that that is harvested using rather horrific and inhumane practices. I don't know how healing those can be, considering that the energy of torture would come along with it. But, you know, a lot of the less destructive practices are certainly going to be useful.
I think, you know, probably just like, you know, the more destructive and the ones that, you know, come out of torturous methods will probably, from what I understand, they'll be given, you know, and taught other more humane methods for achieving the same results.
And the second part, do the Silver Legion, Galactic Federation of Planets, and the Andromeda Council need people of that field?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
We can always use healers in the Silver Legion. We're an army. Sometimes people get hurt. Healers are in great demand. Healers that aren't afraid to go on a battlefield are even more valuable, but we certainly have a lot of healers who are non-combat.
That's good to know. Do you have any knowledge of avian that are huge enough to pose fear to dragons?
I'm sorry, can you ask that one again?
Do you have any knowledge at all of avian that are huge enough to pose fear to dragons?
Pose fear to dragons. Well, most dragons are characterized as being pretty darn fearless. It seems to be a species characteristic.
There's a second part that might help you with this. Are there any such positive birds around that will fight against the negative reptilians?
Oh, yeah. There are some avians whose maximum size can be larger than the galaxy. And the particular race I'm thinking of is very, very positive. They're not exactly chasing after dragons, though, unless those are bad dragons. Remember, dragons are like humans. They can choose whether to be good guys or bad guys or just guys.
There is, as Tanakh was mentioning, what we would consider a natural enemy of the, especially the Draco, the Hydras, the other regressive reptilian-based beings that they're considered avianoids, and roughly speaking, at the smallest in their bird form, they're about 2/3 the size of Terra, but they can get much bigger than that, and in their more humanoid form, the average, the smallest they can reduce their form down to is between 18 and 20 feet. But I can't release what the name of their race is or what planet they're from. They're Galactic Federation planet members, though. But as far as their race and, you know, that kind of information is currently classified. But they're 100% positive.
They're really nice guys.
Yeah, we love them.
Is there a method to ascertain if we have the real version or the clone version?
We addressed this earlier, did we not?
Yeah.
The best way is to watch their behavior. How fluidly and normally do they act? When faced with something unexpected, do they stutter and try to revert back to a script point, or are they able to handle it in a natural way? Those are your real big tellers. And again, if you can see auras, the aura is also another teller.
Right. Recently, Gene Haynes wrote that angels, ETs, are now in place assisting the shift. According to senior planet leaders in Asia, can you shed some light on this, please?
Yeah, they're talking about us.
Yeah, well, and also there's ones that are on the surface, and I believe Drake said when he was asked about the question before that he's not at liberty any more than we are to disclose who these individuals are. But some of them are definitely Silver Legion and allies. So as far as the other ones that are on the surface, Drake said before, and it still stands, we can't release that information.
No.
Yeah, to the person who asked that question, the rest of it, who and since when are they in contact with, cannot be answered, as just stated. And because Drake's not here currently, I'm not too sure whether I can answer whether Neil Keenan actually knows about it, personally. Right. What does it mean when the Greys say elute, elute, elute? ELOOTE.
I don't consciously know Grey, so I couldn't tell you.
Neither. And, generally speaking, I don't wait long enough for a Grey to even get a word out before I chop their head off. And I don't advise anybody else's either. If you see a Grey, kill it.
There you go.
Or run away.
Yeah, or run away.
Can you please tell us more about the Archons? Have we got rid of them? And how can we help to get rid of them?
Depends on what you mean by the Archons. If you mean the Noomda Acheron, the little floating amoeba things, they're becoming less and less of a problem. If you're meaning the social and spiritual controllers, they're also becoming less and less of a problem.
You said that the solar system's other planes are also inhabited. So who are they? How did they come here? And are they helpful?
Most of them don't really want anything to do with what's going on here. They're staying out of it. Some of them have been causing problems. I'm not at liberty to discuss who. But some of the inhabited planets, their populations, some of those guys have been causing problems for Earth right now.
Right. Is Comet Icen an ET space vehicle?
I don't believe so. Space vehicles don't need to travel that slowly.
Right. The people from Alcyon in the Pleiades, are they friendly? And can you tell us a bit about them, please?
Okay, the Alcyons are kind of known as the Keystone Cops of the galaxy. They have a tendency to mess things up. Some of them have been part of the problems that are going on that led to the control system and led to the invasion of the reptilians on this planet. Others have been well-intentioned, but still kind of contributed to the mess inadvertently. We don't really like to talk much about the Alcyons. It's a messed up situation with them right now, and we're still finding out a lot about what's gone on. So I think to discuss the full situation right now would be premature since we don't have it.
Right, okay. That's the top of the second hour. We're going to play a couple of songs. That'll be about 10 minutes. I'm going to try and get Drake on for the final hour. Enjoy the music, and we'll be back shortly.
As soon as you are able, come and I am with you.
Hi, and welcome back to the final hour of Cosmic Voice. Joining us for the last hour will be Drake, and we'll go straight into the questions. Right.
Certainly, we have some Drake ones piled up, huh?
Let me see. Do you want to start off on the theory of three, Drake?
I didn't hear that.
Is there something to the power of three theory?
The Trinity, three?
Yes.
Do what?
Is there something to the power of three?
Yes, quite a bit. It's the basis of the sacred geometric construct of all existence, among other things. It can be either positive or negative, depending on how it's used. It can be doubled, or tripled any multiple of times. You see it commonly in doubles. Doubles go to a 2-3 ratio or 2/3 ratio, where you have more than one triangle in use. Three can be the designate outer portion of the first full trinary solid known as the tetrahedron. It can designate and connote the three levels of radiation from a star or sun, the three levels of being of man. There's a lot of things it goes to. So, yeah, three is very significant. Okay?
Yes. Drake, if possible, are you able to describe the extraterrestrials you are in contact with?
Several of them look pretty much like we do. Some considerably different. It would be best for everybody to consider simply this. Introductions that are coming up soon will be made by people that look like us. It makes things easier. As well, the introduction at a slightly later date, after somebody's comfortable with that introduction, then you get into people that are similar to us yet different. They may have the attributes of, say, Spock. That's not uncommon, as well as some of the other races that were presented on Star Trek, the Klingons, as an example. And yet, once you get used to the idea that there are entities that simply developed in different ways, different traits, you get used to it. When you start getting used to it, the acceptance level goes up. And that's primarily what this is, one of the reasons for this show, and one of the reasons for the explanations, is so that people can understand that there are things out there that they have not been told about for varying reasons. And yet now is the time for the beginning of the disclosures. This gives information so that you're not afraid of darkness or the unknown. And also gives a person an opportunity who does not believe at all. Well, okay, I heard this. Okay, that's fine. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, when it happens, then a majority of those people who would have that particular take on things would adjust more toward the positive, like, wow, that's different. Okay, I wonder if they're really like they say. And you holler over, hey man, you want a cold beer? And this entity is different turns around and says, sure, that sounds good. And after you sit on the porch and talk to each other for a while, it smooth things out. So yeah.
Right. Part of this question was asked before. I'll just ask you the part that we couldn't answer. Gene Haynes wrote that Angels ETs are now in place assisting the shift. Does Neil Keenan personally know about this too?
Yes. Neil's versed in things. Gene and Neil work together very closely, so there's a lot of cohesion within certain personal groups that include Gene, myself, and others. We each have our own personal groups along with what we're involved with others. And so some of that overlaps a bit, and it goes from there. The ideology is the fullest development possible. This gives everybody a combination of information and capability of understanding what's really going on. So, you know, we can all move forward. Next.
Can someone give a basic fast explanation of the workings of tarot cards, and do evil entities use them to manipulate people?
Tarot cards. Basically, tarot cards are a focus for people who have the ability to, I guess you could say, tap into quantum knowing. It's a focus for them in order to access that knowledge that they might not be able to consciously grasp. They're a tool. Can other entities manipulate them? Yeah, but it's more common that the person themselves is the one who is making the cards work. The cards themselves are, while not exactly neutral, because they usually do have an aspect or flavor depending on the deck, they are nonetheless tools and not conscious things in and of themselves, or at least not as we would consider to be conscious or sentient. If you're thinking of inimical entities taking over divination, your biggest problem is probably going to be, well, any kind of channeling and Ouija boards. Don't play with those things. Those things are really more trouble than they're worth. Seriously.
So the final part. Yeah. the final part.
Yeah, it's kind of telling that whenever I used an Ouija board when I was younger, I would always put up heavy, heavy protective fields, specifically blocking negative entities. Not everyone I knew did this. To this day, I know somebody who has a haunted dishwasher as a result of this. I'm not kidding. His dishwasher, which has not functioned for over 20 years, will spontaneously start making dishwasher noises. It's not even plugged in. Very telling that whenever I put up my wards and protections and whatnot, we'd get absolutely nothing out of the Ouija board. It just wouldn't move. So, you know, if I'm explicitly barring negative things that can cause harm and the thing isn't working, that should tell you something.
Yeah, I agree. For my family, I grew up around Ouija boards and tarot cards and paranormal investigations and all, you know, various forms of mediumship and psychic stuff and psionic stuff and telepathy and, you know, horse whispering and that kind of thing. And I had, and I know my family has had off and on, you know, a mix of positive and negative and somewhere in between experiences with Ouija boards. But, you know, being in a family that we know how to, you know, deal with spirits, even when a negative being come around, we knew how to handle it. And I wanted to mirror, you know, Knopf's advice, you know, either completely stay away from Ouija boards or at least, you know, put extra heavy layers of protection around. I remember one experience I had. We were using a Ouija board in a house that we knew to be haunted. The wall behind one of our guests that we had that was participating literally turned purple and cracked right in front of our eyes. Does that tell you anything?
Right. So that answers the final part. Can someone get into trouble using these cards? Okay, question to Sunfire. Since you are the diplomat and you said they would love but are not able to land right now, how about they just beam up everybody willing in this group into their spaceships for a joyride? Would you be so kind to ask them if they would do that?
Joyriding is going to have to wait until things that actually... you know, until we've actually gotten a little farther with making everything safe on this planet. Like, work before play, guys. Work before play.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And right now the Federation, because of the bad guys and their love of abducting people, we've got a moratorium on being, except for extreme medical situations. But definitely, it would be work before pleasure. So joyrides would not even, you know, be factored in for quite some time.
Well, this next question is about light warriors dematerializing a nuclear weapon in the Philippines around the 4th of July. Did this happen? And was it the Silver Legion? If it wasn't, who was it?
The Silver Legion, I don't know about that specific event, but the Silver Legion has been actively involved in dematerializing nuclear weapons in various parts of the world whenever we find them.
And often replacing them with very, very funny things instead.
Yeah, it's our hallmark. We like to not just dematerialize the payload, but put something else in there that's funny. Call it our calling card.
Yeah, like popcorn or something.
Yeah, popcorn or, you know, the Androni favorite, dildos.
Oh, right.
Or chocolate pudding.
Yeah, teddy bears, heart confetti.
Right. Does the Silver Legion...
I was going to say, there's one time I know one of the pranks that was played in the Persian Gulf that was a was personally done by the Federation was they took all the big guns and the couple of the warships and on both sides and took the ammo out and replaced them with these big signs that would pop out and go bang, and then the other side would pop out and say ouch. I don't know if the military ever discovered that one, but I was told it was absolutely hilarious.
Yep.
Right. The next question, does the Silver Legion have a part-time membership? This person would like to join the Silver Legion, but would also like to stay on Terra and experience everything it has to offer.
I'm sure we can work something out.
Question for Drake. Do real dragons breathe fire, or is it all a myth?
From what I've been able to determine, yes, they do. I have a capability, from what I understand, in my dragon form, but normally I would not bother doing that. The thing about dragons is that they eat strange things like weapons, and it really confuses the enemy when they're about to attack you and you chomp off a chunk of their weapons. Then to go the other step further, size is also a consideration, and dragons of the type that I am are rather large. So most people don't, when they see that, it tends to change their mind about wanting to fight. So there's varieties in there. Go ahead.
I'm pretty sure that Drake and I here are the same species. My species also tends to the really, really freaking huge, interesting diets, and our digestive process is produce a lot of waste heat, well, waste plasma, which we can vent conveniently over people who annoy us.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you able to say how the fire is produced?
That was one stipulation that was just made. There's a couple of others in terms of dragons being able to cause manifestation of something that is present but not active. And the plasmic description was close to one, that's one aspect, but close to also being able to simply belch at will, as an example, for somebody that drinks a lot of beer. That would not be uncommon. So you have to understand that there are a variety of ways to produce this. Primarily, there's two types. The plasmic is probably the stronger of the ways I'm familiar with. The other would be the, quote, flame that you see in the cartoons and whatnot, which is fostered by the same process, but just a little different take. It's not. It's kind of like putting it on medium instead of high.
Yeah, I know some who are also able to just basically summon beams or energy and direct it basically with their face.
Yeah.
Are any of you familiar with Simon Parkes, a famous UK abductee, and his depiction of how the reptoids, mantis, and greys operate, correct?
Can't say I'm familiar.
I've read a little bit of it and wasn't really impressed all that much.
Right, okay, we'll move on to next. If there is no time, as we know it, in the fourth dimension, how do night and day progress?
They still will progress. I think we've described this quite a bit. Time and its perception are not as we know it here. Time objectively still exists, but it does not proceed in a way that we perceive like we perceive it here.
Will there still be sunrise and sunsets?
Oh, yeah. The spheres will still move.
what people don't understand is time is not a basis for existence. Okay? People do not understand that because they perceive time as being a reality force when it's not actually a reality force. It's actually a quanta, and it's not actually what would be considered an active quanta. It is a subquanta, T sub Q. So when it is put into formulas such as relativity formulas, the only kind of time that can have relative impact is the type of time that we manufacture known as lineal time. And time is not lineal. So therefore, there is a bunch of false aspects to what we think we know or understand. And this is where the differential comes in. One is, and always has been, and is still there, but the interaction of true time is totally different. And a lot of this, and I've explained this before, but I'm going to hit it again, a lot of this stuff does not directly translate into any known thing on the planet Earth at all. And so the concept, as I've described it very generally, is about as good as you're going to do until people get to 4D and can actually understand the ideology of a spherical that doesn't have any impact on anything, but is really there and can be solid if you decide to make it that way. In other words, there's a lot of ifs, ands, buts, and metaphors involved. And until people understand a quanta of time or a snippet of what the closest thing to that would be pure reality, is an unobtainable quanta. Pure reality is source or God or that which created everything. And when you get to the point where you can understand that that is our description and definition of time, you exchange or do away with the ideology of time and stick in a little phrase called, or a little word called duration. Each and every last thing has a specific duration period, not necessarily a time of existence. That's the difference. Okay?
Okay. This question is about the 12-strand DNA being turned off. When was it turned off, and will it return during the transition?
Yes, it will return during the transition. It was turned off roughly about 25,000 years ago, give or take. This is done by the Anunnaki, and also it was also part of the whole thing being done by the Draco. It was to institute extra control methods, and was done gradually over time, not a all-at-once kind of thing. And also they took, we used to have 48 chromosomes. They took the last two chromosomes and smashed them together and smashed them into the 46th chromosome. And a lot of what mainstream geneticists, scientists, all that are saying is junk DNA. It's not junk DNA. It's all the DNA memories and the genetics from our predecessors and progenitor races and those extra 10 strands of DNA. And, it's all going to return and be reactivated. And I think some of it already is, but the majority of it will return and be reactivated with the transition.
Also, you don't need to go to anyone and give them money for them to reactivate your DNA or activate your DNA for you. Anybody who's offering to do this for you is probably doing more harm than help. It will happen naturally. You don't need to go pay for it.
Yeah. And we really, 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 really insist on it being done sooner. Go see a shaman. And I'm not talking about anybody who claims to be a shaman. I'm talking about literally walk onto a Native American reservation, and or, you know, something like that, and respectfully ask them for assistance and ask to speak to, you know, one of their healers or one of their shamans or medicine man. And if, you know, and be respectful.
Right, okay. Next question is on the Neanderthals. Were they around before or after we were seeded, and are they our ancestors?
They were a individual experiment. There is anthropological evidence that for a short period of time, Neanderthals and modern man walked and coexisted side by side. But eventually the Neanderthals did die out.
Yeah, they interbred with us.
Yeah.
Okay. What is, this person's fascinated by the Great Pyramid. Can either Tanath or Sunfire make any comment about the Great Pyramid? Who built it, its age, its, and what purpose is it used for?
Well, the pyramids in general all around the planet have multiple different purposes and uses. The specific pyramids of Giza, Egypt, the three of them were built roughly between, roughly about 35,000 years ago. They were built with the original intent and purpose of having them as space stations, or like a, you know, place to set your ship down when you're coming from another planet kind of thing. There's multitude of different uses, and we still have yet not to this day discovered even the Federation and the people upstairs have not fully discovered everything that the pyramids are being used for, can be used for, are capable of being used for, you know, that kind of thing. We're still uncovering that.
Okay. If we are, in fact, descendants of a highly intelligent and technologically superior stellar race, why haven't we dug up remains of these advanced species, or have we dug them up and not been told about it?
We have them. They're mostly suppressed. Anything, like the Smithsonian has flat out said, anything that doesn't fit its current creation story gets thrown out. But, yeah, this stuff does exist. It gets dug up. It gets found. You know, they found a spaceship with Diplodocus, or however you say that, dinosaurs on it, you know. You just don't hear about it in the mainstream media. You're never going to hear about it there. They got a vested interest in keeping you in the dark.
If you look up all these stories of giants, there's articles all over the internet of giant skeletons being found literally all over the world. There are some of them that are hoaxes, but there's a good majority of them out there that are actually real, and were actually, you know, real skeletons found. There's one story I remember reading about what would be considered a mass grave site of giant skeletons found in upstate New York. And, you know, what I suggest is do research in what they call, I think it's op arts, out-of-place artifacts, books like Worlds Before Our Own by Brad Steiger. Graham Hancock is another one that did a lot of the ancient artifacts research, and, you know, on artifacts and all kinds of stuff that is found that doesn't fit the current written timeline. There was a recently uncovered, and I believe it was covered on at least an alternative news source, but I know quasi mainstream covered it as well. There was a gray found in a Egyptian tomb in a casket.
And for the glass pyramids at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle, You know, these things exist. Evidence exists. It's just not advertised. And when it's found, it's seized or suppressed or otherwise hidden.
There's photos even of the 13 original crystal skulls. That's evidence of extraterrestrials. There's pictures out there of skulls with horns. There's evidence of extraterrestrials. If you look at some of the pictures from Peru and from the Egyptian pharaohs like Tutankhamun and Akhenaten and several of those guys, with, you know, they were from Sirius A, and the reason why they are depicted for having those hats is because it was covering their head. They were longer in the, you know, towards the back of their head, and it wasn't that they were intentionally misshapen. There's a difference between the various peoples that were mimicking their formation, deformation of the head, were mimicking the extraterrestrials. And the skulls are out there, but a lot of mainstream archaeologists and anthropologists are saying that they were intentionally misformed. They weren't. There's a difference. The ones that are alien and ET have a larger volume capacity for the brain, not just the same head misshapen by, you know, the boards, which was the Peruvians and other tribal people mimicking the extraterrestrials. So, yeah, the evidence is out there. You just got to look for it, and it's not going to be on mainstream, like Stoss said. But even you want to see a more mainstream approach to evidence of ET across time, look up the TV series Ancient Aliens on History 2, and it's also broadcast on the History Channel. I really, really, really support that show. The only beef I've ever had with that show is they try to fit way too much history in too short of a time frame. History happened over a longer period of time than even they're presenting.
The other part of this is the Dogon tribe. That's Dogon in Mali in North Africa. These people were explaining in 1927 to a British explorer about Sirius being a trinary system when it was perceived to be only a single system, which was Sirius A. And these people even explained the orbits of the other two stars, and it wasn't until 1978, I believe, that the Astronomical Society decided and found the trinary system. How did these people in North Africa know 50 to 60 years earlier than the people with the telescopes? So those people are well worth researching.
Well, there are many tribes all around the world, including the Native American peoples here on, I believe it's called Turtle, they refer to it as Turtle Island, the North American continent. There are many, many, many tribes around the world that have in their tribal histories all kinds of information about star people, the star nations. It's across history that, you know, things like this, for example, this tribe here in, you know, the tribe in Africa, they had that information for generations because, you know, much like everybody else around the planet, we're all descendants of, you know, 22 to 25 different extraterrestrial races. There have been ETs coming and going and visiting this planet since it was formed about 7.5 billion years ago. It was made and brought, you know, and brought to the solar system. But, you know, even you look at one of the Sumerian carvings, there's indications of Pluto and all the other stars that were, that, you know, weren't found until the 1900s. It, you know, the evidence is there. The Native Americans and their histories with the Star People and the Star Nations, and things like the Mahabharata talks about the gods from the sky coming down and having the ancient nuclear wars. There is ancient atomic wars that took place, and the evidence is all over the planet, and you just look.
Yeah, the fallout to the nuclear war is right across the Middle East.
Yeah. It's where all those layers of green glass and the city of Mohenjo-Daro is another one. I mean, how else do you really explain that one? It's highly radiated city, and it was radiated from a time when modern man did not have any kind of nuclear technology.
Yes. Question to Drake. Will the Ascension completely remove all negative effects and fully renew us so that we have full awareness, full use of our minds, consciousness, intuition, personal histories, and full knowledge?
Pretty much yes, to an extent in some, and in some instances more than in others. It'll vary a bit according to the individual and the individual needs. Now, the differential or difference between what is now and what is to come is extraordinary, and it's also, and everybody needs to pay attention, individual. Just like you've got a separate set of fingerprints, you're doing this as an individual. Just like you come into the world and go out, you can't come in naked and go out naked. You can't take it with you, okay? The differential is that the going out part, instead of leaving everything behind, so to speak, it's more of a sort of continuation of some things, but in a different way, and to a much greater extent, the good parts. If you have lost memory, you have physical ailments, you have mental problems, you have thinking disorders, things of this nature, much of this will be remedied. Not all, but much, in some cases all. Anybody who continues to have a problem needs to get in touch with somebody as soon as possible, and there will be somebody there to help you deal with it. So the ideology is to get everybody to the same place that everybody that wants to feels like going. And from what I've gained in terms of being able to see into the future slightly, it's going to be awesome. The ride getting there is going to be one heck of a roller coaster ride. I hope everybody enjoys it. That does not necessarily mean that the world is ending or any of this. The world's going to go through the transition basically as we do. And so you got a world that has all these really far out, aspects to it. And suddenly you get to join in. You get to finally be able to understand a lot of the things that we've talked about on this show that you just can't quite get around. You can't quite grasp it. All this will become clear. This is clear as the best clear day you've ever seen. And believe me, you'll be able to see for miles for sure. Okay?
Cool. Next question. Why do we have so many religions on this planet? And the second question... Do the alien races worship a creator?
Divide and conquer. That's the reason why we have so many religions. It is just another point of division, which keeps us at each other's throats so we can't unify and throw off our oppressors. As for whether or not aliens have religion, no. For the most part, most alien species, most extraterrestrials, do not have religion. They do acknowledge the matter-of-fact existence of a creator. This is not, however, bound by a bunch of prescribed practices, worship, or belief. Worship is not necessary. Anything that requires worship is not worthy of it.
Not even real gods want to be worshipped.
The ones that want to be worshipped are usually insane. It's considered a hallmark of insanity among gods to demand worship, in fact.
I think you said in an earlier show, you said, called it right enough, never put anyone above your own heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
That applies here. All right, next
question.
Yeah,
unless you're owned by your head.
Okay.
If you get into a relationship with a unipeg, you understand from day one that unipeg comes first in everything. And it's just the way it is.
Right. Was there actually a worldwide flood? If so, when was it and why did it happen?
Likely those legends come from when, as Sunfire was discussing, the water sphere that was enveloping the atmosphere collapsed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, there is a really interesting article. It's in bibliothecofladians.net, and you research the Romanian Sphinx on that website. It talks about, it actually explains how the flood happened and why. And it was a combination of the water sphere collapsing and other water coming up from underneath, you know, underneath the surface. And also a lot of the flood stories are from around the time when the Draco dropped the Mediterranean basin and caused Assyria to sink, and when over a long period of time, because it did not happen in one day and one night. Atlantis
or
sunk.
Or even 40.
Right. Atlantis sunk in about three stages, and those would have caused coastal flooding. When Mu collapsed, that would have caused coastal flooding. When pieces of Romania collapsed, that would have caused the coastal flooding. When the planet was moved by the Alcyons from a five-day shorter rotation around the planet to its current position, where it is now in its current orbit, roughly about 14,500 years ago, give or take, that would have caused, you know, your coastal, you know, your widespread flood. The original epic of Gilgamesh is where the Bible gets their flood story from. And also
and a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah. And a lot of the Sumerian's translation of the Sumerian cuneiform tablets. Also, if you trace back even further, the stories come from multiple different global tribes and that kind of thing. The because prior to there being the Christian and Catholic God worshiping religions, and you know the other ones that are based off of that, most of the people worship the sun. And so then you tie into, you know, things like sun gods, Apollo, Helios, the sun.
Okay.
And, you know, you just got to keep tracing further back in history, and you find your origins of just about anything.
Right. I've heard there's a secret land in Antarctica under the ice that has a nice climate. If this is supposedly where a lot of the Nazis escaped to from Germany. The USA is said to have investigated this but had to retreat because of severe attacks from flying saucers. Is this true? And if so, can you elaborate?
There was a subterranean Nazi base there for quite a long time. It wasn't a nice, climate. It was underneath the frozen tundra, but it's since been cleared out, I believe, a year or two ago.
Question to Drake. What is the Star of David or the Macabre all about? I thought this star symbol was about the bad guys.
Basically, it's a duality. It deals with hexagonalism, and it deals with what would we call a the double triangle essence in terms of what is shown shows also divisions and goes to the number 11 as well as the number 7. When you get into the wrong kind of numerology, you misunderstand what the true meanings of these numbers are. And they have been coming out steadily on the internet over the past few years, which was a pleasure to see. You have a hexagonal containing a pentagonal. You have 11. You have a 5 divided by 6. So that gives you a fractal, which means that it is in and of itself invalid in terms of its expression. It has to be the other way around. 6 divided by 5 gives you the whole number that you're looking for. The basis for the difference is goes to signets. It goes to shape recognition. A lot of it is found in flags. Let's see here. Significance of shapes and numbers would be a place that I would put in my search engine and look for, because it gives you fairly complete histories of where these things come from, what their considered or believed significance is, and what they can be used for. Okay?
Do the Dracos and Greys receive their energy by scaring people?
They get some from scaring, but they get more from hurting.
Yeah, the more they can, you know, the more they can induce pain and fear and any kind of negative emotions, the more energy they can get from people.
Oh. In 4D, what kinds of work this kind of work be available for people who like working with animals, nature, and farming?
Oh yeah, most definitely. There'll be all kinds of work that, you know, is in one way or another connected to either, you know, working in nature, farming, animal husbandry. There's even veterinarians that still exist, you know, for any kind of healing, horse whispering. The only cool thing is that instead of just working with the animals that we have here on Terra, you get to be opened up to and exposed to even other animals and more animals that are, you know, currently are relegated to little more than mythology. The real difference is that any sentient being is considered equal to, you know, to humans. If there's no you're an animal, you're lesser than me kind of concept. If it's sentient, it's equal.
Right, okay. The final question will go to Drake, and I'm going to ask him to sum up. We have 1 minute left before the music. Drake, was your first name given to you at birth, or did you or someone else choose this name after you joined the White Dragon Society?
It was given to me at birth. primarily because my parents sensed that I was a discoverer and would be looking for things, an explorer, and the idea of Sir Francis kind of appealed to them, so they named me Drake. The name's been reinforced in several ways, and connotations that other people can't grasp as of yet. So, yeah. And basically, I'd say for, you know, as far as the show goes, you're done.
Final word tonight, Sunfire?
I just want to say I think Drake's theme fits him perfectly.
It does.
Yes. Yes.
And remember, everyone, no fear. Follow
yes.
your heart. Be your own guide. Remember, you don't need saviors. All you need is you and the people you love. And hopefully that can encompass the whole world.
Yes, and I'll agree with that. And I'll leave people with one final message. As we get closer, certain questions can't be answered. Bear that in mind. I'm Thomas Williams, and this has been Cosmic Voice. Thank you, and good night.
Future in our hands. We can.